are listening to a sermon podcast from St. Benedict's Table, a congregation of the Anglican Church of Canada located in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
May only truth be spoken and only truth received. Amen. So tonight we are observing the Feast of All Saints, which, strictly speaking, lands on Tuesday, November 1st, but can be moved either to the Sunday before or the Sunday following. We have more than enough happening next weekend. What with our big Babel 2.0 conference taking place? So it seemed right to me to move All Saints to tonight. And of course, we share this building with the parish of All Saints. And so we are surrounded by some visible markers of this feast, all in stained glass, and so not at all visible at this time of the year. But come later in the winter and into the spring, you'll be able to see it all. So in anticipation, an unfortunately long anticipation, I'd have to say, let me remind you of the pictures that line the top area in this building. The figures in the middle of the three windows in each set are the apostles, Judas having been replaced by Matthias, as is told in the book of Acts. Those apostles are each flanked by other saints, and this being a church very much of the English tradition, on the south side they are flanked by saints of the British Isles. On this side, they're flanked by saints, figures from Middle Eastern, Northern African, and European churches, most coming from the first few hundred years of the church's life. And unless you've studied some early church history, chances are you might not recognize a good many of those names when the sun begins to shine through. And notably, there's only a very few women pictured up there, which actually opens a bit of a reflection. You see, there are a good many formally recognized women saints in the long story of the church, and many of them come from precisely the time period that's represented in these banks of windows. Were this church being built today, I suspect that we'd be seeing a somewhat more equal balance between men and women pictured up there, as beginning with Jesus' own mother and extending to people like Mary Magdalene, Mary and Martha, Priscilla, Lydia, the merchant of purple cloth, among others. The New Testament texts contain a quite extraordinary number of prominent key women figures. It's all the more striking when you are reminded that the writers of the New Testament are all men. Men raised in a culture that gave them a role of prominence and not so much to the women. Yet there was no way that they could possibly overlook the crucial roles that these women played in the unfolding of the Jesus movement. And frankly, there were probably many, many other women as well. But here's the other thing about those windows. The Feast of All Saints is meant to celebrate all of the Christian saints, the known ones, the stained glass ones, but also the unknown and forgotten folks. And while it might have been tough for the designers of this church to figure out how to picture unknown people, I wish they'd tried. I don't know, maybe just a figure on both the south and the north sides in the tucked in the corner of an anonymous man and an anonymous woman, plainly addressed and no title attached to them. Maybe if they were at least there, it would have pressed all of us to remember what it might mean to use that word saint. I mean, in his writings, Paul, St. Paul, uses the word a fair bit. In the Greek of the New Testament, the word is hagios, or holy ones. But Paul doesn't use that word hagios to shine a light on some particularly holy and pious, upstanding people. He uses it as a form of address for the fledgling church community in all of its complexities. For instance, when he writes his first letter to the church in Corinth, Paul begins, "To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints." And then he continues to use the word several more times in that same letter. In his second epistle to the Corinthians, he continues in that same vein, and he ends the epistle by saying, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you," by which he means the members of the other churches that he is nurturing. Similar phrases appear in Romans, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, both 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Saints is one of Paul's favored terms for church folk. And sometimes those church folk weren't acting in particularly stereotypically saintly ways. They have fights, conflicts. Some of them get badly off track, and Paul is writing to kind of pull them back on track. Some have seemed to have entirely missed, the main points that poor old Paul had tried to pound into their heads. And yet he still uses the word saints, hagios, holy ones. Maybe that's partly aspirational. Paul knows all too well that there have been a whole lot of hiccups in the life of those communities. So perhaps by addressing them as saints, he feels he might be nudging them back toward a more solid path. Or maybe he uses the term because he desperately needs to hold on to that vision for them. He's poured his blood and sweat and tears into proclaiming the gospel to them, living in their midst, risking the rejection of those who oppose him. And even as those little communities trip along, stumble along, make terrible, dreadful miscalculations, Paul needs to use this word for them, as he believes so very deeply that this is meant to be for them a path of light and life. But you know, it doesn't always work out. That Corinthian church to which he writes with such passion and conviction will eventually collapse and disappear. A generation after Paul, there's another letter written to the church in Corinth, this one from a leader named Clement. And Clement's letter to the Corinthians is part of a collection of letters by people that came to be known as the Apostolic Fathers. And while not familiar to most of us in the way that the New Testament might be, the writings of the Apostolic Fathers are very easily accessible and available. And in that collection, Clement's letter faces down divisions and conflicts in Corinth, which are clearly even more severe than they were in Paul's day. Sometimes that happens in the world of the church. Unprecedented conflicts do set in. Or a community just slowly ages out, or becomes, for different reasons, irrelevant in the world in which it exists. Or perhaps the small town in which that church had once flourished has now essentially rolled up its sidewalks and closed down. I think Paul, were he to write to any of those communities in that array of circumstances, would address each and every one of them as numbered with the saints, even as he would acknowledge the places where they'd fallen down or seen time and circumstance conspire against them. It's meant to be, you see, a freeing word, a challenging word, and an inspiring word. Not a word applied only to plaster figures and stained glass windows, but in fact to real day-to-day people doing what they can to follow Jesus on the way, even as they stumble. It's not a word that we in the Canadian church much use in these days. You'd be a bit shocked if I just started calling you saints. Saint Larry, how are you? Saint Ian. You know, everybody's like, what? He's lost his mind. Finally, it's time. But it's not a word that we should just relegate to plaster and stained glass. My dad is one of the saints. He died almost 20 years ago. In the days in which this community of St. Ben's was just getting off the ground, he died too young at the age of just 72. He was a good man and a fair man who lived with some brokenness and a heart condition, and a saint. Some of you here will remember a fellow named Terry. Terry, who came into this community very early in our life together. Terry, with his love of people, of music, of the art scene, and his church. And he battled a depression most of us didn't even know was there. And then he succumbed to that depression one hard night in 2008, leaving so many reeling at the loss. And he was one of our saints. Helen. Helen, who sculpted pieces for us and left us with a set of prints of the Stations of the Cross that she did. A glorious painting that will again appear in Advent. Helen had a grand sense of humor and an artist's heart. Yet a body that just couldn't keep up with where her mind and her heart wanted her to go. One of our saints, Gloria. Gloria lived with dementia, and that left her leaning hard onto her beloved husband, Don. And somehow she was always able to keep company with us, pretty much right up to the end. Always smiling, laughter, twinkle in her eye, even in the fog of the dementia. And then she succumbed to cancer. One of our saints, Neil. Some of you remember Neil, who lived for so many, many, many years in the little apartment that stood at the end of what was once the parish hall, now demolished. Neil lived in that place and was sort of the gatekeeper and the key minder of this building for 25 years. Neil, with a host of eccentricities and a kind of angular way of being in the world. We bid him farewell about a decade ago when his tired body just gave out. One of our saints. These and countless more. What unites them and unites us is that at some point along the way, they all and we all caught a glimpse of the vision that Jesus had set out in this gospel reading for All Saints Day when he said, I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. From anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. And we hear it, and it sounds impossible. However imperfectly we could ever completely live into this vision, it still stands there in our imaginations. It has a little hold on us, and we think twice when we face a circumstance that's difficult. And we hear those words ring again. That's what it means to be a saint. To hear it and hold it and test it and try it is what it means to be someone whose life is shaped and celebrated this evening. You are numbered among the saints, folks. You may not feel like it, but you are. God's holy ones, in spite of the sometimes unholy character of who we are, named as such and called to be that. I like the stories that are associated with the stained glass figures. I've got a couple of collections built around the particularly eccentric ones, and I like the stories, but I know you, and I love to hear your stories, your struggles, and your aspirations even more than what I might read about these stained glass figures. Because you have heard the challenge of gospel, and you're here doing the best you can to be a gospel people, saints, all of us, in our brokenness, saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This has been a sermon podcast from St. Benedict's Table. For information on our church and to access the full catalog of our podcasts going all the way back to 2006, visit us online at stbenedictstable.ca. In addition, if you are interested in supporting our online work, you can find information on the website using the donate button located on the top right-hand corner. Thanks for listening.